Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Mem Aleph on Beis, the very last lines of Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says that Yom Tov, that he said the first day of Sukkot, if it was on Shabbos and someone accidentally took the lulav in Tirshas Rabim, he would not be chayav achatas because he was lokeach bershus, that he took out with permission to do the mitzvah. So the Gemara wants to discuss this. Amar Abaye qualified Rabbi Yossi, and he says Loshanu Ella Shelo Yatzabok. The Mishnah is talking about a case where he didn't fulfill the obligation to do the mitzvah lulav yet, and that's when he's taking it out. Then he's going to be pater from achatas. Because then you were misasik b'mitzvah, so then you were p'tur because you were worried or tarred b'mitzvah. Rashi says you were tarred b'davar mitzvah. You were worried and preoccupied with the mitzvah. So that makes sense why it'd be part of a chatas. Normally, a chatas is something when it's shogeg. When I'm shogeg, I do something. It means I could have avoided the situation where I shouldn't have done the avera. At the end of the day, I did it accidentally. But still, there's something I could have done where I could have avoided the avira, as opposed to onus or something which is even further than avira, like tirda de mitzvah. That's even less than that. I don't even need chatas. Still comes to be mechaper me. It comes to give me kapar and atonement for the avira that I did because there was some sort of negligence, a little bit, just a drop, enough to assume that should make me chayav to bring a korban chatas. But here he's pointing out, you don't even need the kapara. A korban chatas is there for the atonement. I don't need that atonement when I'm osik b'davar mitzvah. But however, that's only when I didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Aval yatzah b'chayav. But if I already did the mitzvah, so then I take it out, then you can be chayav a chatas because you're no longer preoccupied with the mitzvah. You already did the mitzvah. So therefore, there's not a legitimate tirda, there's not a legitimate preoccupation, which is going to tell us that the mitzvah caused him to violate the veira, and therefore, he needs the atonement, and he would need to bring the korban. So the Gemara says, "Ha mid'akbe nafkabe." Wait a second, though. Abaye, you say that at the end of the day, that it's going to be the only one you didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet. The moment that you pick it up to bring it to the Rav to ask him Mishaila and do the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, the moment you picked it up, you're Yotze. So in every case, a person who's going to bring it to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbi, he already fulfilled the mitzvah because the moment you pick it up, you're Yotze. So if Abaye is correct, so why would it be that you're Pater? So Tosfos just point out over here that Lechora, we see over here that the moment you pick it up, that you say that you're going to be Yotze, Lechora, that we see from here that mitzvahs are Eina Tzrichas Kavana. That's at least a shaila over here. The Gemara is willing to entertain. That's a whole big shaila of when do we say mitzvah tzrichas kavana or eino tzrichas kavana. We seem to say from over here that mitzvahs are eino tzrichas kavana. That's a very fascinating thing. So that's a big shaila in general of a person who is being yotze mitzvah. Tosa discussed this over here, and then in general, big machlokas rishonim whether or not mitzvah tzrichas kavana halacha lemaisa. Usually, the psak for halacha lemaisa mamish is that for mitzvahs daraisa we're choshes mitzvah tzrichas kavana. If you didn't have kavana, you have to be choshes. So you say kriyat shema, you don't have any kavana, you have to repeat the kriyat shema. And mitzvahs darabana, we assume b'diavad that even if you didn't have the proper kavana, like you make the mitzvah tzrichas omer, you didn't have kavana for the bracha or even doing the mitzvah. That's the famous thing. That's where we're choshes for that. That if a person actually says, you know, tonight is 15. Without having going to be Yotze, but he says tonight, that's a bad example of the Mishnah Berurah, I get that, but let's say tonight is 6, and today's the 6th night without having Kavana, so then we assume Mitzvah Sarabana, he may have been fulfilled the Mitzvah, so therefore we don't allow him to make a Bracha. Now, again, back to Abaye, though, the Gemara is asking, that, wait a second, every time that you do you're going to pick up the Lulav, you're going to be Yotze the Mitzvah. So Abaye has to answer, Amar Abaye, Kisha Hafcha, we're talking about a case where you picked it up upside down. We know that we're going to learn out later that the Gemara, that you have to shake the Lulav Derech Gidulas, and that's what we mentioned as one of the Eitzas to not be Yotze yet. With the esrog is to pick up the esrog upside down. That is because you're not yotze if you pick it at lo derech lasan. So if you picked it upside down, then you carried it, then you wouldn't have an issue. So Gemara says, Rav Amar knows. You could give another answer, a different answer. Rav Amar fil tema shelo hafcha. You could even say that the person didn't turn it upside down. So then, how is it that you didn't fulfill the obligation? How come I ask you? I could go and show tzio b'kli. We're talking about a case where Rabbi Yossi is talking about. You took it out with a type of kli, a type of utensil, and you're not going to fill the mitzvah because you're not directly touching it. So Gemara says, wait a second though. Rav himself, Rav Hu damar lakicha yedidava acher shmei lakicha. Rav himself is the one who told us that when you take the lulav by the suda with the handkerchief, and you take it through that, you would be yotze even though there's something blocking you. That's still considered valid lakicha. That's still considered taking it, and you fulfill the obligation. So why over here, if I take it with the kli, with the utensil, I'm not yotze? So the Gemara says, hanim ele derech kava. That's only when I'm taking the thing in derech kava in a way that's a proper way, a way that's like showing more kava to the mitzvah. However, aval derech b'zayon, though, you're taking it in a way that's a derech b'zayon, that's an inappropriate way, that's something that Rava would not allow you to do. And if you do it through that, you're not going to be yotze. I was wondering, what exactly is the chilak? And Rashi really doesn't discuss what exactly is the difference if I take it derech kavod or not. Lachora, this is getting into the shaila of, is it like a chatzitza? Is it fundamentally a barrier between you and the mitzvah? So if I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, that's showing it's derech kavod. That's showing it's for that. So that's not going to be a chatzitza. However, if I'm doing derech b'zayon, that shows that I don't want to be taking it in this manner, and therefore it's not like I'm taking it at all. And Rav is saying, this is my suggestion. It could be wrong, but that's what I'm assuming, and therefore I'm not going to be yotze. Now the Gemara continues with Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna, He wants to bring another case with regards to Rabbi Yossi. Amar Omer Ayar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi used to say, Ola Sa'ov Shenimtas Ben Agapayim. In the case where you have a Shechted Ola, that's a bird, that was found among other Chataos. So there's a fundamental difference between a bird Chataos and an Ola, is that an Ola, you know, has to bring be Makrev Kol Kula on the Mizbeach, as opposed to a Chataos, the Kohanim have to eat it, and it's a mitzvah for the Kohanim to eat it. So, and if you eat an Ola, it's an Isser Dereisa, you violated the Isser Me'ila, you have to bring an Asher Me'ila, you have to bring a Korban. So here we have the two together and they got confused. Now, when it comes to Echad Sa'of, you do them through Malika, you do them a different place. You do the Mizrachis Doromis is going to be where you bring the Ola, that's a bird, and the Mizrachis Doromis, the Mizrachis, the eastern side of the bottom part of the Mizbech is where you're going to bring the Olos. So they're in different sides, but still, they're both on the bottom. So in Rav Huna's case, talking about where there's a lot of Olos, and Rashi's pointing this out, and there was a lot of Olos, and therefore it happened to be pushed them together, and they ended up getting confused. So the Gemara says that if you got confused, so you get confused, you thought it was an Ola, you thought it was a Chatas, and I suppose there's a mitzvah for you to eat it. However, really, it was a Chatas, Pato is not going to be Chayav, because you know, osik b'davar mitzvah. Now, the Acharon is bothered by this, but when it comes to a chatas ha'of, the chatas ha'of, you have to do malika, and that means that you don't chop off the bird's head, as opposed to that's an ola. When it comes to an ola versus a chatas, an ola, other way around. So when it comes to an ola, the chatas of an ola, that the din is that you do chop off the head. When it comes to chatas, you do not chop off the head. So couldn't you tell very clearly what the difference is? So apparently the Acharon brings down that after the chatas, you brought the chatas, you were then, after you bring the dam of the chatas, then you would be allowed to chop off the head. So that's what we must be talking about. Because I'm saying, how can you get confused? That's what I'm talking about. How can you get confused? But one head is chopped off, one's not. You know clearly what's a chatas and what's an ola, unless the guy is an amaretz. But then you wouldn't be in a kohen being over on the mizbech. So rather, lechor, we're talking about the case where you're allowed to take off you're allowed to chop off the head after you bring the dam of the chatas. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, pater, because you were osik and something you thought was a mitzvah, you thought there would be a mitzvah for you to eat it because it's a chatas, and it really wasn't ola, so you're not going to be chayev the asham me'ilos, the din of the normal korban asham, the isra d'araisa that you did, you're not going to be chayev to bring the korban because you're osik b'davar mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but what's the chiddush over here? My kamashman, what exactly is the chiddush from Rav Huna? The talbot of our mitzvah pater, that you tell me that someone who is osik b'davar mitzvah, he's going to be pater? What do you mean? Hainuach, we already told that in the Mishnah. Rav Huna is not touching any chiddush past what the Mishnah told us. In the case of a lulav, you're attempting to do a mitzvah, and you didn't realize, and you ended up not doing a mitzvah, so you're not going to be chayev. So the same thing with Rav Huna, you attempted to do a mitzvah with regards to the korban. You thought you were eating a korban. You ended up eating a ola, which is mamish and iser, and you do a me'ila. You don't have to bring a korban me'ila. So the Gemara says, no, I would have made a chiluk between Rav Huna. Rav Huna is a chiddush because ma'ad same. I would have thought without Rav Huna, I would have thought hasam to do a mitzvah potter. That in the case with regards to lulav, you were tovah davar mitzvah. You were taking care. You're doing a mitzvah. I knew the avod mitzvah. You actually did the mitzvah. Though. What did you do? You brought the lulav in Rishus Rabbim. You carried it Rishus Rabbim. So then you were actually doing a mitzvah, and you ended up fulfilling the mitzvah. So therefore, you did a mitzvah. That's when you're going to be potter from the korban because you actually ended up fulfilling an obligation. Aval, halcha de tarba davar mitzvah v'loavad. Here you thought you were doing a mitzvah with regards to the korban. You ended up doing nothing. So when it comes to lulav, I actually fulfilled the mitzvah d'oraisa of lulav. But here, I didn't do any mitzvah whatsoever. So therefore, I would have thought that Rabbi Yossi would tell you that you're not going to be pater kamash malan. Rav Huna is therefore coming to tell you in such a case where you even though you didn't do a mitzvah, that's a chiddush over here. That even that you don't have to bring a korban. So the Gemara says meisivei, but wait, maybe that's not even true. We're going to have a question from the Braiser. Rabbi Yossi Omer hashochet es atamit she'inu mevukar kilchos b'Shabbos. Now there was normally a halacha of bikur of that you have to check a korban. Any of the korban that were brought as a korban tzibur, they have to be checked 4 days beforehand. This is actually something that's very nageah halacha lemaisa because that's where the concept of the slichos for Ashkenazim that we what's the rule? The rule that people generally get confused. When do you start a week before, when do you not? So the rule of the Ramah tells us that the minhag is that we do slichos, the Motzei Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, provided that Rosh Hashanah is 4 days before that Motzei Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday or the following Shabbos, then you'll do slichos starting that Motzei Shabbos, as we did last year. However, Rosh Hashanah, I think this year falls out on a Tuesday, so you don't have a full 4 days from Motzei Shabbos, so then we push up slichos to the week before. Why is this magical number of four? So Ramah tells us because it's the Indian of, we learn it out from this right here. The concept of bikur, you need a bikur of 4 days, a minimum of 4 days to check the korbanos tzibur and make sure that they're kosher. If you didn't do that, so that's what's considered over here, the halacha of a shochet tamid she'in mevukar kilchaso b'Shabbos, that you shechted the korban tamid that not been properly checked, chayav chatas tzarech tamid acher. You have to bring a korban chatas and you have to use a different tamid in its place. So that's the shaila over here, is where's he talking about where there was actually ended up finding a mum, where he found a blemish or something that was wrong. According to Joseph, no. The fact that I didn't check it fundamentally makes it puzzle, and therefore, if I shechted this korban on Shabbos, that's something that I'm chayav for shechting on Shabbos. That's why I'm doing korban chatas for shechit on Shabbos is an iser d'oraisa normally. That's the opinion of Tosfos. Other Rishonim say, what do you mean? No. Only when you found out that there was something wrong with the korban, then you could assume that the 4 days, because this shows that you were negligent, you didn't use a korban that was checked properly. So in this case, so that's why you're going to be chayav. Okay, that's a machlokes Rishonim. But either way, what do we say from this case, according to Rabbi Yossi, you were talmid of our mitzvah, you did shech the korban that you thought you were going to use, also for the korban talmid of the boker, and it wasn't mevukar, but yet Rabbi Yossi says you're chayav achatas, so that a person is chayav achatas even when he's osik with davar mitzvah. So the Gemara answers Amar Lei. The Gemara answers Bar Mina Dahi. This is different. This brisa. We learn regarding this brisa. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Chitay, Amar Rav Humna, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yishan, Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav. Kigon Shevil Melishka She'ena Mevukar. We're talking about a case where they used to have a lishka, a special chamber that was designated for the karbanos that were properly supposed to be brought as korban on tamidim. So if you brought it from there and you ended up getting confused on the korban that was not checked, it was assumed that there would probably be a chazaka that was checked. So then it was told by the mitzvah Biyosi would not rechayv kohatas. Here the person completely Rashi says he was negligent. It was poshea. He was not. He was Karav Lamezi, Rashi says. He was close to being purposeful because he didn't even bring it from the right chamber. He brought it from the chamber of the korbanos that weren't even checked. So you knew it wasn't checked. So you mamash violated this, or so that, for sure, you are going to be chayav achatas. Like, obviously, it means that you still thought something was wrong, because if not, then you're mamash mezid. But this is Karav Lamezid enough that you'll be chayav a korban chatas, but not enough to tell you the mamash bidin mezid, that you obviously didn't violate an isra deris and Shabbos and want to violate Shabbos, so you thought it was okay. But this is something that was clearly negligent, and therefore, even according to Biyosi, you would be chayav achatas, as opposed to the case of lulav, in the case of eating the korban of an ola, those two cases you were actually negligent. You were not negligent, rather you were tarred with davar mitzvah, which is even less than negligent, and therefore you're not even going to be chayav a korban. Now the next mishnah tells us mekabelas isha miyad bena med baila. A woman is allowed to take the lulav from the hand of her husband or her son. Miyad bena med baila umachzirosa lemayim b'shav. She could put the lulav back in water. You want to make sure that the water doesn't wither down. So therefore you want to put the lulav back in the water even on Shabbos. And therefore, that would not be a problem of muktzah, even though a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah. We don't assume for her that is muktzah. And also, we're teaching you another chiddush that you're allowed to put the lulav back in water. This is not going to be an issur derabanan of watering plants or looking like you're watering plants. That's not an issue. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the time in the base of Migdash when the lulav was taken on the first day of Shabbos. Nowadays, the dinim of a lulav would be muktzah on Shabbos. Like we had whatever it is this year, even on the first day, a lulav would be muktzah because you're not allowed to take a lulav on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'Shabbos Machzir. Rabbi Yehuda tells us on Shabbos you're allowed to put it back into water. B'Yom Tov Musafin on Yom Tov you're allowed to add the water. You're allowed to add the water on Yom Tov. You're allowed to put a little bit additional water. But you're not allowed to put it into a new thing of water because that's something that's too much. That's considered too much work on Yom Tov, and that's going to be Aser. Why is it Aser on Shabbos though to put it to Abimosif water? So that Rashi explains is because it's like Tikkun Mana. The lulav is going to be Tikkun Mana, and therefore you're considered mitakin it. That's too much for Shabbos apparently, and then apparently on Yom Tov you don't have this issue. The Rav explained, the Rav Moshe quotes this in his Sefer, the Daf Pashut, he quotes that he quotes other Rishonim that say it's just a gzera that it looks like you're watering on Shabbos, and that's the Shaila of Moshe asked them that there's a, well, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov though? It's a gzera, it looks like you're planting. Planting is Asher on Yom Tov also. Why would there be a difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos? So he actually goes back to Rashi, says that Lechor is more mistabe. Now the Mishnah continues, the Moed Machlifin on Chalamoid, you're even allowed to change the water because. And Rashi points out not only that it's mutter, rather it's a mitzvah because you want to make sure the lulav is still going to be mehudar and still be good, and that's the best way to keep the lulav wet and proper. Our lulav and our hadassim and our ravas might need this actually. That's a shaila, but some people put a paper towel on the bottom of them when they put them in the fridge because usually a lot for our ravas especially people's ravas mamash get brown. So that's obviously not lechatchila. You should make sure to keep them green. You put a nice paper towel on the bottom stem. It keeps them. You put them in the fridge. It'll keep them pretty good for the entire duration of sukkahs. So now we're learning another halacha over here that a katan who knows how to wave a lulav, that he knows how to shake a lulav, that is going to tell you that there's a din. The rabbanan is going to be chayev in the mitzvah of lulav. The fundamental machlokas we showed him, this is din of chinuch, that you should be mechanech a child to do a mitzvah. When it comes to the din of chinuch, is the din of chinuch on the child or is that on the father? It's a big machlokas we showed him. It's a big fundamental machlokas we showed him. I think it's Rashi and Tosfos, whether or not it's on the father or on the son. But that either way, there's going to be a mitzvah that once he knows how to shake it. The Achronim ask, wait a second, though. Once we just pointed out, that the moment that you pick it up, you're going to be yotze. So l'chora, why over here does it have to be once he knows how to shake it? If he could just hold something, if he could be able to hold the luv and esrog without even shaking it, he should also be chayav in the mitzvah of chinuch. So the achrona point out over here, I think the Netziv points this out, and many achrona point out, Avin Ezer said like this, is that when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch, it means that he's able to do the mitzvah properly. Once the child is able to do the mitzvah properly, then he's going to be chayav in the mitzvah of chinuch. When he's not able to do the mitzvah properly, then he's not going to be chayav in the mitzvah of chinuch. That the whole concept of chinuch is that you should do the mitzvah in the proper way. So that's also like you have like these plastic lulavim and esrogim. Okay, that'd be nice for a little child, but if the child is mamish at the age of chinuch, who understands what lulav and esrog is, able to shake it, you don't have to buy him the most expensive set. Most 99%, not a lot. Most sets that you'll buy, even like the $10-$15 sets, are going to be kosher, at least with the Evid. So maybe you could buy him that one, but you don't have to buy the most mehudar set. But still, you have to buy him something that's kosher if he's able to shake it. So that's a shayla. When people have like the chinuch sets, they buy like mamash love and sugar or puzzle. I'm not exactly sure why they do that. Lachor, based on these achronim, it's pashut that you should have to do it in a way that's at least kosher. It doesn't have to be, again, the most expensive $300 set, whatever it is, but still, it should be something that's kosher for lulav and esrog. Okay, so now the Gemara says, pshita, that it's obvious a woman is allowed to take the lulav from her son or husband. What would you have thought? So says the Gemara, I would have thought the following. I would have thought that she's not chayev in the mitzvah of lulav at all, because it's a mitzvah sasesh as one grama. It's a time bound mitzvah. We know mitzvah sasesh as one grama from the Gemara Kedushin, women are pater. Hello to Kabbal, I would have thought that she's not allowed to take the lulav because maybe for her it's going to be mukta. So the Gemara answers, Kamashmalan. Therefore, the Tana is telling us that it's not going to be considered mukta for her since men are allowed to take it. Or you could answer that since fundamentally she is allowed to take it also and shake it, that's going to be kosher. The Rishonim point out, the Orzarua wants to bring a raya for here. There's a fundamental machlokas Rishonim. Are women allowed to make a bracha when they do a mitzvah sasesh as mangrama? When they sit in the sukkah, when they shake the lulav, any of these mitzvahs, do they make a bracha or not? So this is a fundamental machlokas Rishonim. The Orzarua wants to bring a raya from over here, that clearly there's no mitzvah to do so. So the Gemara, because the Gemara says, I would have thought she's not able to do it, the Kamash Malan, it's not considered muktzah. Why doesn't say Kamash Malan, you take it with a mitzvah? The Chor, this is a strong raya for the Orzaruist side, and the many are showing them like that. The Rambam, right, many show the Shacharach Paskins like that. Sephardi women do not make a bracha when they do a mitzvah, when they do a time bound mitzvah, as opposed to Ashkenazim, Rabbeinu Tam, well, the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosos, that Ashkenazim do make a bracha because that she's allowed to, Vitzivana is going on, general Kal Yisrael means that she's allowed to make the bracha. So here, the Chor, they'll explain that the moment that she picks up the lulav, it's not mukta, since she's allowed to fulfill the mitzvah for herself, and it therefore would not be mukta. This is the shayla of Moshe asks on, I think it's the Shagat Zariah, no, I was getting confused between the two of them, but Moshe in the Sefer of Yir, he asked on the Gemara seems to be a fair study of Shagat Zariah. Shagat Zariah in Siman Kavav, where Moshe quotes, that there's a shayla. He holds that you're not allowed to bring there's a shayla about carrying on yantiv. We hold that you're allowed to carry on yantiv is there's a tzorach ktsas, if there's a little bit of a tzorach for yantiv. So the Shagat Zariah wants to tell you that to bring a shofar in a place without an erev on yantiv for a woman who's not really obligated in the mitzvah, so then it's going to be usur. So Rav Moshe says, can we see clearly here, it's not mukta for her. It's not considered mukta. So clearly, she's shaykh to it somewhat. So the same thing, you should be able to carry it to we're talking about a man going to carry it for her. A man to carry it for her and blow a shofar, even for herself to carry it. Is she even allowed to carry it? Is that considered a tzorach leyontiv? So clearly, the Rav Moshe says, from this Gemara, that is considered a tzorach. I think we do paskin clearly that even if there's no erev, that you would be allowed to carry a shofar for a woman, even in a place without an erev, on yontiv. Because we've seen that that's considered a tzorach, the fact that she wants to hear it, that's considered a tzorach, and it's not considered a mukta for her, so the chora, that should show that there is a tzorach. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to analyze the second part of katan adela na'anea, when a man is, a child is able to wave the lulav, he's a chayav the mitzvah lulav. Tanar, man, whether a tosefta adds more, a bracer or a tosefta says more, katan adela na'anea chayav the lulav. A katan who knows how to wave is going to be chayav in the mitzvah of chinuch. So that's the shayla l'chor, it's on the father to train him, it's on the father to train him to do the mitzvah. If he knows how to wrap himself in a talis, to put it on properly, that is when he chayav the mitzvah of tzitzis. Lishmor tefillin, if he knows how to watch his tefillin properly, aviv lokeach lo tefillin, his father buys him tefillin. So shayla, why is it only by the tefillin does it say by the father buys it to him? Why doesn't he have to buy him a tzitzis or buy him a lulav? So Tosfos just saying practically, when a lulav, he's probably going to use his father's, he could do matana manas lahachzir, and lehisatav tzitzis, the chori is just going to give him an old garment. But when it comes to tefillin, it's right that you have to take care of buying it. You have to make sure to buy him a new one because you can't borrow yours every day. He has to wear it for davening. So then you have to buy him one. Or potentially, Tosfos give another answer, that tefillin is very expensive. So we're saying even for that, something that's expensive, you have to buy it for your child. That if he knows how to talk, his father teaches him Torah and Kriyat Shema. There's a parallel Yerushalmi. I'm not sure if it's another Baal, but I remember it being a Yerushalmi also. It says Yodela Daber, that he knows how to talk. His father teaches him not just Torah Krishma, but rather Lashon Kodesh. He teaches him how to speak Hebrew. That's the Shaila. Is there a mitzvah to speak Lashon Kodesh? The modern day Hebrew is a Shaila in the poskim Lamaisa, if that's considered Lashon Kodesh or not, because there are a lot of words like banana or Coca-Cola or half the words of English that they use in Lashon Kodesh. Is there a kim of Lashon Kodesh when you speak modern day Hebrew? That's a Shaila. Rav Neventhal, just quote Rav Neventhal, says that when you speak the words of the Tanchi words of things and you're speaking in the proper diktuk of a Tanakh, then there would be a kiyum of the mitzvah of speaking Lashon Kodesh. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos, when it says Havedan mitzvah kala kechamura, that you should be careful to do mitzvahs, small mitzvahs and light and more chamur mitzvahs, more strong mitzvahs. The Rambam writes that the Rambam Perish Mishnayos, he tells us that the mitzvah kala is speaking Hebrew. So there is a mitzvah of speaking Lashon Kodesh. Speaking Lashon Kodesh is a mitzvah. Rav Neventhal says there would be a kiyum if you were of Lichtenstein. I think Zatzal, he think even went in America. I think he was in America the first few years before he made Aliyah. I'm pretty sure from what I was told is that he used to speak to his children in Hebrew even in America. Something I was like unheard of then, because he thought that there's a kiyum to the mitzvah of Aviv Lamdo Lashon Kodesh in addition to Torah or Kriyashma. Now the Gemara says Torah Mai. So what does it mean? It means that Torah Amarav Himnuna Torah Tziv Aladim Moshe Marashaki Las Yaakov. It means that you teach the pasuk. The first pasuk you teach your child is that the Torah that Moshe gave us is our Masorah, is a heritage from the Yaakov, his whole Torah is a why dafka this pasuk, but that's what we teach the first thing, and also Kriyat Shema Mayim, and you also teach him pasuk Rishon, the Kriyat Shema Shmaya Shel Shem Lakinu Hashem Echad. So that's the Shaila of Moshe asks, well, Tzarech Yina over here, the Katan barely knows how to speak. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't really understand what you're saying at all. So what are you teaching him how to speak? So l'chora, we see that besides for the concept of chinuch, there's a general mitzvah, l'hargila b'maisim tov b'maisim mitzvahs, to try to get him ragil to do mitzvahs. And that's and even though he doesn't really understand so much what he's doing yet, like the concept of hakel, like, Moshe doesn't say this, but I'm just adding, like hakel, we bring in the youngest children, the haskar l'mavim, that they should see the things we don't even know how, at such a young age, things something must be on a child. And to raise them in the way of chinuch and Torah, that's something that's extremely important. Rav Moshe points out, I think Rav Shechter said there's something similar. I don't know. Moshe doesn't say this about chinuch d'oraisa, chinuch d'rabbanan. Rav Shechter also said there's a tzvei dinim of chinuch. That comes from the Rabbeinu Yonah, right? The tzvei dinim of chinuch is that yishem ragel to be someone who's going to be when he turns 13 to be someone who shomer Torah mitzvahs and to actually and the ma'isa mitzvah to make sure he does every mitzvah properly. So Rav Shechter used to say that one is d'oraisa d'rabbanan. I don't remember where Shechter got that from. That one is d'oraisa, one is d'rabbanan. But he always used to say that when it comes to chinuch d'oraisa for chinuch d'rabbanan, you should always trump chinuch d'oraisa. Chinuch d'oraisa, according to Rav Shechter, meant that that he lives a life of Torah mitzvahs. And Chinuch d'rabbanan is proud making sure he comes to with you to shul, etc. So if for whatever reason, he has a legitimate reason why he doesn't want to come to shul, and you push him and nag him, specifically that I come to shul, so Rosh Hashanah said, that's Chinuch d'oraisa v'Chinuch d'rabbanan. Chinuch d'oraisa, he's going to come to hate shul for this reason, for whatever reason that he's coming right now, you're pressuring him to come, and when it's not, it's something that's above what he should require. So then in 5 years from now, when he's bar mitzvah, he's going to hate it. He's going to remember that time that you forced him in shul and slept him there. However, if Chinuch d'rabbanan will tell you that he should come right now, he should come every mitzvah to be margil to every mitzvah. So overall, we want to make sure that the child has a happy chinuch, to make sure that's an important thing. They should make sure that overall he finds Judaism pleasant and nice and enjoys it. Now the Gemara continues, Hayodea, Lish Margufo. Someone knows how to guard his body from making sure he doesn't come touch tuma things. So then, Ochlin al Gufo Taharos. We could, if his body accidentally touched Truma, so then we don't have to assume that he's Tameh, we can rely on him because Lechora, even Truma Dereisa, so how is that? So Lechora, this is a Chazakah, the Truma is a Chazakah that is Tahor, and we don't have a reason to assume that the Katan is Tameh, so there's no Reis in the Chazakah, we can assume it's Homer al Chazkaso, that it's still, the Truma is still Tahor. Lishmar is Yadav, if he's guarding his hands, if he knows, meaning, but in this first tad, if his hands touched it, then there's a Xerah Darabanan, that all hands are Shneas Tuma, so it would make the truma tamea, so that'd be a problem. So that would be an issue. However, Lishmar Tziyadav, if he even knows how to guard his hands to make sure that they don't become tamea and he washes his hands before touching truma, then even then, Ochlin Yavdadar, even if his hands accidentally touched, and we're assuming that his hands were clean, and he accidentally touched the truma, that even in that case, there's a Xerah Darabanan, normally for Stam Yadayim, for that case, we would allow to trust him. He's enough to be questioned with regards to Tumah, then he would have the following chilek, b'shusha yachid sveiko tamei, b'shusha rabim sveiko tahor. Generally, when you have a suffix Tumah, in b'shusha yachid, we learn now from a sota that it becomes, it's tamei, and b'shusha rabim, we assume that sveiko tahor, that's chilek only works with yesh bodas lishal. Something that's in bodas lishal, even in b'shusha yachid, if I remember correctly, from the Gemara sota, would become tahor. So he is considered yesh bodas lishal, even though he's still below the age of bar mitzvah, he is still considered das lishal. If he's intelligent enough to be asked about it, then we assume that's and that chiluk would apply. Hayodel lifos kapav, if he knows how to do birkas kohanim, then Chokin al Truma of Truma's Beis HaGronos. Then you're allowed to give him Truma publicly. Normally, we don't give a Katan publicly Truma because people are going to come to Mezalzer and Truma, come to make it lightly. Oh, look, they give this Katan. Doesn't know how to keep to, how are they going to know that he keeps Truma properly? So they're going to say, oh, Truma, you don't have to be so careful with it. Look, they even give it to a 12-year-old the other day, give it to an 11-year-old to eat it. So that we're not supposed to do. However, if he does Birkas Kohanim, he's such a Katan that he even knows how to do Birkas Kohanim, then we would be allowed to give him Truma. Now, who are we talking about over here? Are we talking about even a Katan potentially, or are we talking about only someone who's still considered young, but he's still bar mitzvah. He's still considered bar mitzvah. So Rashi holds it. No, Vada, he's still bar mitzvah. This whole brisa is different. This last part of the brisa is talking about where he was able to, even though he doesn't have a zakah megudal or whatever, but he's still considered a bar mitzvah. We know that he's bar mitzvah. So then we're talking about the 13-year-old, even though he looks young, you'd be allowed to do these two halachas. These last halachas. Tosos disagree. They say that no, we're even talking about a katan below the age of bar mitzvah. According to Tosos, that here, how are you allowed to do birkas kohanim? The Gemara says though, a katan's not allowed to do birkas kohanim. So Tosos answer that that's only when there are no other adult kohanim, when there's no other bar mitzvah kohanim, then he's not allowed to do it by himself. He's not allowed to interrupt the Chazar Shashas and two Birkas Kohanim. However, if there are other Kohanim, then a Kohen Katan can go up and do Duchening with the other Kohanim. I'm pretty sure that's how we paskin. That's also, I didn't double check, but I think I've seen that way, so I'm assuming that's how we paskin. I would hope that's how we paskin, because I've seen Katanim go up with their fathers to do Birkas Kohanim. We haven't told them such like that in America, at least. So I think we paskin that Tosos, but according to Rashi, they would not be allowed to do that. So now the Gemara continues to say, if there's a Katan who knows how to shech the animal properly, then you're allowed to eat from a Shechita. So there are qualify this. I'm Ravuna. V'hu shegadol omed galbav. The gadol is there, making sure. Rashi says shalosha velo daras. If you stop for a moment, you pause, or you press down too hardly. Those are two things of the four or five things that pasul shchita. So that would be a problem. You have to make sure gadol has to make sure he's shechling it properly. Then a katan would be allowed to do shchita. Yochol leechol kazayas gadan kazayas dagan. If a katan is able to eat an olive amount of grain, marchikim atzosam iraglav arba amos. Then you have to distance yourself four amos from their number two and number one. You have to the marchik. So that's what we learn for the pasuk. V'kisisa say asecha v'lercha v'sdavar. Right, ve'amachanecha kadosh. That there would be an iser if a person say any dvarim shebekedusha, potentially an iser deraisa even to say dvarim shebekedusha. If there's number two around or number one, I have to be very careful from people who have children who are above the age of this point where this is the halacha ma'isa that they're able to eat the gzayis of dagan. That's a shaila nowadays in the poskim. When that is nowadays, everyone has to know their own child. When this child is able to eat a kazayas dagan, but you're not allowed to daven if you assume that they have a tzoa over there. If it smells, it's certainly going to be an issue if it smells. That's only Omar of Chistov, but that's the only one time it takes to eat a pras, which assuming like pras is literally half of a loaf of bread of the Mishnah's time. That's a shaila. Was it eight beitim or six beitim? So it would be either four or three. That's the shaila nowadays. Alach HaMaisa thing, but the Rambam and the Rashi and the Rambam, whether it's three or four or three alach HaMaisa, three beitim or not. But either way, be'erach the shir is it depends on the child. Is it around 6 months? Is it around a year? Whoever it might be, that's going to be a shaila in the postgame. But that's going to be a kedel chilas pras. And that's where it says that Amar below that age, you don't have to be choshish for the tzoa. Amar nevchia breider of yeba of a gadol afal pesha ene yachol leecha because kedel chilas pras. And when it comes to a person who's older, above that age, meaning Mishabura quotes that it's going to be titled to 6 or 7, then we would say that even if he's not able to eat it for whatever reason, he's sick or whatever it is, that we still assume that his tzoa in Miraglaim is number one. Number two, you have to be careful to stay away from the Chsiv Yosef Das Yosef Machod. The pasuk says you're increasing knowledge, increasing pain. This pasuk in Koheles, we're learning out from the pasuk in Koheles that Rav Chiya Bar Chanina is a remez to the fact that it's an allusion to the fact that one who grows older, his knowledge increases, so to his pain, meaning that we're talking about the pain over here is talking about his waste, is what's coming out of his body is going to create a smell, and therefore you're going to have to be machmir. The Gemara says yachol echol kazayit sli. If the katan below the age of a bar mitzvah is able to eat an olive amount of tzli of roasted food, shochtem avas pesach, you can shech the korban because you need minuyim. Rashi says b'manin osa b'nei chabura, right? It's because it's yisuf yachol techosu. You need to have yisuf yachol. There's a concept of minuy. Minuy ve'no nechelam minuy. We say every day in Ezra Kaman, you have to have a minuy. You have to appoint who's going to eat your korban, so you could appoint him to eat if he's able to eat a kazayas. Nemar ish l'fiyachlo, person according to what he eats, that's only if he's able to eat a kazayas. Rabbi Yehuda mer atshich alavarer achila. Rabbi Yehuda is a different getter. He's more machmir. He says no, not just he's able to eat a kazayas b'chadei kalas bas, but he has to be able to tell what you're giving him. So how does that work? Ketzar has many words. It means able to tell what you're giving him. No son l'tzor v'zorka. If you give him a rock, he knows not to eat it, or the son knows not to eat it, the child knows not to eat it, but the daughter knows not to eat it. So then you throws it away. That would be something that shows that they have das. Egos not though. If you give them a nut, they eat it. So those two, that case is something that would be considered a case where you would be allowed to give it to him. Anything less than that, even if they have the kazayas, but they don't know, then you wouldn't be able to do that. Okay, with that we finish. Now we're up to the next Mishnah, the fourth parak. We're going to discuss different things that have come up on the Chag. Lulav Arava. We probably won't finish the whole Mishnah. We'll stop in the middle. We'll pick up from there tomorrow. Lulav Arava Shisha Veshisha. When it comes to Lula and Arava, Arava is when they used to walk around the Mizbeach. What they are, Aravos, they would hold the Aravos and go around the Mizbeach during the time of Sukkot. It's going to be either for 6 or 7 days. The Mishnah is going to be before when it falls out on Shabbos. It's not going to be a Hahala Vesimcha Shmona, that the Hallel and the Mitzvah of Vesamachta Bechagecha, which is a Mitzvah Dereisa that applies in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they would have Shlamim, that's a Shaila, Bezman HaZeh, is it Dereisa or not? Is Simcha Basar V'Yayin, or maybe just Yayin, or just in general, Simcha Siyandav Bezman HaZeh Dereisa? Many Mishnah hold it is, Rechosh there is Dereisa. Rechosh, we hold it, it's maybe potentially Dereisa. Sukkah V'Nisa Chamayim Shiva, the Mitzvah to bring the Sukkah is going to be all 7 days, because Shmona is referring to Shmini Atzeres, the 8th day. We're talking about in Eretz Yisrael. All this in Eretz Yisrael, by the way. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be 8 days. We're talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Sukkah is going to be only 7 days, and then Nisach HaMayim is going to be also Shiva Yom. Nisach HaMayim, the rejoicing with the water. They used to take the water libation ceremony. Is that they used to take accompanying the nesachim of the tamid, they used to bring the water on Sukkot. So that water libation was done for 7 days. Hachalel chamisha v'shisha, the playing the flutes and the other instruments is going to be 5 days or 6 days. This is referring to the simchas beis shoeva, the celebration of the water, of the drawing of the water. That was all night long. There's dinner and instrument abundant to play musical instruments on yantiv. So that was not done on if there would be 5 or 6, because if there was a Shabbos and a yantiv on both of those days, they did not have Simchas Beis Shoeva. So therefore, the first day of Sukkot would be it was not Shabbos, then it would be only 5 days. When it would fall out on Shabbos, then it would be 6 days. That's where it's going to be 5 or 6. Lulav Shiva Kitzes. So the Mishnah says, how in the case you have Lulav, you'll have 7 days. So the Mishnah tells us, Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So the first day of Chag falls on Shabbos. Lulav Shiva, the Lulav in the Beis Hamikdash are going to be taken for 7 days. Ushar Kol Yom Shisha, whereas the rest of the days of the week, it would be 6 days. Because the Lulav is not going to be Docha Shabbos in the final 6 days, even the Beis Hamikdash, where it was Dereisa. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Arava Shiva Ketad. How do you have Arava that's 7 days? Yom HaShvi'i Shel Arava Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So the seventh day of falling on Shabbos, the Gemara is going to discuss also why Dafka, when it only falls on Shabbos, would you do it on Shabbos? Arava Shiva, then Arava, the mitzvah of Arava going around the Mizbeach, on Shabbos would even apply on the seventh day when it fell on Shabbos. Shar Kol Yom Shisha, that's going to be Hoshana Rabbah. And the Shar Kol Yom Shisha, the rest of the days, the meaning of Shabbos, fall out on any other day other than the seventh day, Hoshana Rabbah, the way our calendar falls out, Hoshana Rabbah can never fall on Shabbos anymore. The other days of the week, then it would be only 6 days. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up mitzvahs lulav keitzar, Bez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.